I'm going to do something a little bit different. Not exactly different. I'm in the text. We're still in the end of Genesis 6 and the beginning of Genesis 7, where God has essentially, as Brett well shared last week, we have become as wicked. God left us, if you will, to our own devices, and if left to our own devices, we will become as wicked as we can become. Something like that. And so it is the convening mercies of God that any of us aren't as wicked as we could be. And so, and then God, you know, says, I'm done with all this. And, but I want you to remember that when God does things in the Old Testament, he's preaching the gospel and he's telling a redemptive story. Even though it's real and it's happening, so there were real people who every thought and intent of their heart was evil continually, and God said, I'm done with them. And so that really happened, but it also is a shadow or a testimony of a reality that there is none righteous, no, not, and that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know them? And so, and you'll see that even after the flood, God is going to say, when he makes a covenant with Noah that he's not going to destroy the earth, he'll say it in this context, even though your hearts are still going to be evil all the time. So this isn't going to fix evil hearts, what's fixing to happen next. But it is part of the gospel story. And so if I were going to put a title on tonight's lesson, I would call it The Gospel According to Noah. And what I'm going to do is I'm getting permission from the Lord to do this out of two different passages. And so I need you to see them up front. And then I'm going to basically skip a rock across the story of the flood, in particular the preservation of Noah, and talk to you about the gospel implications of that particular story, and teach you something that you might not have known about baptism. You saw the baptism tub filled, and I knew some of my eager guys were going to go, hey, what about me? And so, no, we're waiting to a more appropriate time for you. But there was baptism this afternoon, and so we're tickled about that and thankful. But I want to show you two passages of Scripture. The first one's out of Hebrews 11:7. Remember two weeks ago when we were talking about Enoch, we used Hebrews to understand what was going on with him, because sometimes the Old Testament picture, it just says a certain thing about him, but we don't like know how it worked out until we see it through New Testament eyes. And so remember, it's the Bible that interprets the Bible. And so I need the New Testament to tell me what the Old Testament meant. And so so let me give you two passages. One is in Hebrews 11:7. It's the passage about Noah, and it says, by faith Noah. So I want you to see, how did Noah operate? He operated by what? Okay, so just hold that. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, was moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to what? The righteousness which is according to faith. And so remember that righteousness from God is not about Bobby and how Bobby behaves. Righteousness from God is this perfect, holy righteousness that can only come from God, and it's about how God behaves. And there was only one person who ever behaved like God behaves, and that was the God-man himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So he is Jesus Christ the righteous, 1 John 2:1. And so when the Bible talks about righteousness, The Bible's not talking about me doing as good as I can. The Bible's not talking about me only lying one time this week, but last week it was four, so that's a lot better. When the Bible talks about righteousness, it's talking about me 100% in mind, soul, spirit, and heart like God. That's righteousness. There was only one person who was righteous. It's Jesus Christ the righteous. And so when God talks about righteousness, remember what he's talking about. He's not talking about me being better than I was before, or me being a little bit better, or me do it. Like, for instance, we talk about, well, I just did something that was pretty righteous, man. You know, I helped that old lady across the street. And I'm not picking on helping old ladies across the street, for those of you who are old ladies and need help across the street. And so, but what I am, but what I am saying is that's not what God's talking about when he's talking about righteousness. When God talks about righteousness, he talks about something that comes from him. And if it comes from him, it can only be obtained by what? Yeah. Say that? Yeah, that's right. Right? In other words, I have to depend that it is God's righteousness that it sustains me, right? So here's the gospel, guys. Remember, the law is what I have to do, and the gospel is what God has done. I don't have to do a single thing in the gospel. God has already done it. Amen? So I don't have to be righteous because Jesus was righteous. I don't have to die for my sin because Jesus... Yeah. So the law's due, the gospel's done. The law is what I'm supposed to do. The gospel's what Jesus did for those who couldn't do what they were supposed to do. Right? Okay, so need to clarify that little piece, because you're going to see that God calls Noah righteous. But I want you to see from the New Testament lens that his righteousness was the righteousness which is according to what? Faith. Only one person said it. I need a choir here. Exactly. Yes, faith, right? Because, I mean, the reason I'm pausing here is because we get hung up on this, man. You know, we actually think that we can be the righteousness of God or something. We think that we can be righteous. What are you talking about? The righteousness that I have to be clothed with, and the clothes are the clothes of another. They're the clothes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so the second verse I want you to see was this. And this is out of Peter. God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes, you see the word symbolizes? This water symbolizes the baptism that now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from your body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's a little bit of a cryptic verse that confuses a lot of people. People will say, what are you trying to say? Like, baptism saves you? Remember, what does he say? He said it's a symbol. Go back to the verse right before that, Bub. He says that it symbolizes something. That what happened to Noah symbolizes something that's happening to you spiritually. And so when I'm telling you the gospel according to Noah, you're going to see the symbolism. You're going to see what was going on. So God's fixing to preach the gospel through Noah's life. And so let me show you how that works. So Lamech lived 182 years. Remember, this is the last of Genesis 5, and had a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because the ground which the Lord has cursed. This one is going to do something to break the curse. So I just want you to pick up on that. And then, starting at what Brett did last week in 6:1, down to 6:8, it says these are the genealogies of Adam, and then it comes all the way down, and it gets all the way to the end, and it says they're all wicked, and they're all, God's fixing to nuke them all. And then at the very end of this little paragraph is where Brett ended last week. But Noah found what? In the eyes of the Lord. Now, let me ask you something about grace. Is grace earned favor or unearned favor? So here's what God did with Noah. What happened was is that God chose to be gracious to one of the heirs in Seth's seed, and his name was Noah. And God chose that even though the whole world had gone to pot, to be gracious to Noah. Okay, you with me? So, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let me just talk about the eyes a little bit. So a couple verses before this, in what Brett was preaching last week, God saw. He saw something. He saw the wickedness. He saw the evil intents of the heart. He could see our hearts. And he could see how messed up what they were. And then, so God's looking. And the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the earth. Doesn't it say that? So God's looking. And man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. That's right. And we learned that when King David was being chosen. And so what happens is, here's God, and his eyes are going to and fro throughout the earth, and he's looking. And he sees somebody that has faith in him. He sees somebody that when he had shown them the way, he believed God. And God reckoned it to him as righteousness. Remember, we learned last week that it's impossible to please God except through faith, right? It's impossible to please him and except through faith. And we see something, and so what happens is that God sees Noah, and Noah sees God, and Noah finds grace in the eyes of the one who looks at the heart. And what that means is that it means this, that it wasn't that Noah was better than me and you, because everybody since Adam was born how? Yeah, in sin, exactly. Everyone who was born in Adam's heart was conceived in iniquity, and in sin their mother brought him forth. That's what the Bible says about all of us. Everybody, Romans 5:12 says that one man sinned, and that sin got passed to all. Nobody's excluded in that. Little bitty babies, okay? My sister over here is carrying a little bitty baby. And his name, Little Judah. And Little Judah's already a sinner. And that's tough to deal with, but that's the truth. Right? Jesus' testimony is this. I didn't come to condemn the world. It was what? Condemned already. The sentence has already been passed on the whole thing. I came to give mercy to a people. And this is what is the gospel that's being painted here today. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, this is the genealogy of the one who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That he was a just man. I was going to have Bubba change this. Actually, the word is the Hebrew word which means righteous man. It also means just, but just and righteous are the same thing, right? Justified freely in his grace, righteous, those are synonyms. They're the same word. But like the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah. You know, you guys that know all the names of Jesus and you use the fancy Hebrew words and have that t-shirt. That one, right? The Lord our righteousness. And so this is what it was. So he was a righteous man, and we already saw his righteousness, that it wasn't in his behavior. What? It was in his what? Faith, that he trusted in the righteous God. And he leaned into him and said, the only way I'm going to make it is because of the God who's righteous. And then it says that his behavior was also good. He was perfect in his generations. Of course, nobody was perfect except the Lord Jesus. So perfect doesn't mean that he was without sin. There was only one without sin. The Bible says this over and over again. But it also uses perfect of people like Noah and Job. You'll see the Bible calling them that. And it just means that they were, I don't know what it means, the best dudes around or something. He was perfect in his generation. But then here's the clarifying line. It's the same line that God used about Enoch. Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. Why? Because he believed in him. He had faith in him. He had the righteousness that was of faith. He believed in God, and therefore he walked with God. He did what God told him to do. He went where God told him to go. The Bible says in the New Testament, and Brett mentioned this passage last week, that he was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. So not only was he, did he know where righteousness came from, but he also preached it to others so that they would know where it came from. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved is a sentence that is a preaching of righteousness. Because who am I calling you to believe in? The righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow me? And so don't trust in yourself, because you're toast if you do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the righteous one. That's a preacher of righteousness. Just learn to say that line. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, and you're a preacher of righteousness. That's all you got to say. Jesus said his first line in Mark was repent and believe the gospel. That's all. What's the gospel? What God has done in Jesus, saving his people from their sins. Okay, so moving down a little bit. The earth was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. Brett did a great job of talking about this corruption. Sexual corruption and violence. And, you know, just honestly, when he got done with his sermon last week, I thought there's a line in chapter 7 where it says, and God shut the door of the ark. It was over. The 120 years of preaching was over. He shut the door of the ark. And I thought, there isn't any reason why God shouldn't just shut the door right now and end the thing. And remember, he said the next time he's going to end the thing is when he comes back. New heavens, new earth, destroy the whole thing. I'm ready. It's corrupt. I can't imagine that they're more corrupt than we are. The earth was also corrupt before God. Earth was filled with violence. And so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And I thought about my own self last week. I thought about the sensitivities that I used to have when I was younger and in the Lord, and how, like, I just see things now that are violent or sexual or something like that. I don't think anything about it, honestly. Like my sister, but my beloved daughters, you know, well, like, hey, we're going to watch a show. You want to watch it? And I'll say, you know, it's this. My goodness, my girls are in here. And I'm like, I don't think it's got anything wrong with it. Dad! And they'll tell me all the bad stuff. You know, like, I'm just desensitized. I mean, like, shut the door. Get rid of me too. You know, seriously, you need to take me to heaven. Get me out of here. You know, and it ain't going to be my righteousness that's going to get me there. Amen? It's going to be the righteousness of another. So, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under the heaven all flesh, which is the breath of, in which is the breath of life, and everything on the earth shall die. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? But I will establish my covenant with you. One man. I will establish my covenant with you. One man. One righteous man. And he says, you shall go into the ark. So I want you to like see who's God establishing the covenant with. God's not establishing the covenant with Noah's kids. God's not establishing the covenant with Noah's wives. God's establishing his covenant with one righteous man. Now, why is that important? That's important because one righteous man is the person who's going to save you too. Right? But here's the good news. The good news is because the one righteous man has a family, the family gets saved too. And listen, if you're in the one righteous man's family, you're going to be saved too. If you're his wife, if you're a part of his bride, if you're his sons and his daughters, you'll be spared. And if you're not, you won't. Period dot. I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go in the ark, you and your sons and your wives, and your sons' wives with you. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Now, rolling up to 7, remember, I'm going to go back and read this next week. I'm just hitting the high spot so I can tell you this story before I get back into some of the details about the story later. And then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are what? Righteous. Before the righteousness of what? Faith. Y'all, I'm not getting that full-bodied faith. The righteousness of faith. Thank you. Yes. Because if you don't say it that way, you're going to think it's the righteousness of being a good guy. It's the righteousness of faith, of which the fruit is, I am a good guy. You follow me? Okay. But you got to get that straight. That's a big deal. Okay. And so those entered. Male and female of all flesh, and they went in as God commanded them, and the Lord shut them in. Because his wrath was fixing to hit the earth. And everybody that wasn't safe in the ark because of the righteous man was going to die. And then the waters came. The baptism came. Back to the Peter passage. The baptism. Jesus said this. Peter said, Lord, I'll go to the death with you. Remember when he had his old chest out and God said, you're going to deny me 3 times? Oh, man, I'll die with you. And he said, Peter, can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm fixing to have? There was a baptism that was coming. It was a baptism of the wrath of God. It was a pouring out of the wrath of God. It was a destructive flood that was going to kill everything, that was going to wipe out sin and sinners and their sinful hearts. Everything that took breath on the earth, there was a baptism that was coming. And the only people that were safe were the ones who were the family of the righteous man. And they were safe. And they were safe inside the ark. And the Bible says, and so it says this, the Lord shut him in, so he destroyed all the living things which are on the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping thing and the bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth, and only Noah. Look, he doesn't even talk about the other people now, except he just says, and those who were with him. Aren't you glad to be with Noah this morning? Or is it evening? Aren't you glad to be with the righteous man? Because I promise you, if you're not with the righteous man, when God shuts the door of the ark, and he's gonna, you're gonna be toast too. My hope is only in him, the righteous man. And if I'm with him, I'm safe. And the ark became a coffin. It became it became the same thing that Jesus said when he talked about the sign of Jonah. What happened? He was thrown into the water, and for 3 days and three nights he was in a baptism of death. A baptism of death. That the only way he was going to escape is if the Lord was his Savior. As if he was rescued. And so God has rescued us through the righteous man. And that's the only way that we're rescued. Now let's read that Peter 3 passage again, the second slide. God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, and it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through the water. And this water symbolizes a baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of the dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's what it means. That had you not been with Noah in the ark, you would not have come out alive. But because Noah came out alive and you were with him, you'll come out alive too. You'll come out alive too when the great baptism comes. And that's what it means to be buried with him in baptism. The baptism is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the symbol of the spiritual 3 days and three nights that he spent bearing your sins on the tree, suffering the consequences of your sin under the wrath of God. And yes, it cleanses you. Of course it cleanses you, but what is it? What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What does that mean? It's the death of Jesus and the blood that he shed. That's the baptism that cleanses you. And if you don't have the baptism of the righteous one, then no matter what you do, you're done for. I don't care how good you are. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have I not I done many works in your name? And he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I've never knew you. I only know the ones who are with my son. I only know the ones who are with my son. You know what a preacher of righteousness is? It's the one that says, believe on the son and live. Because if your eggs ain't all in his basket, when God shuts the door of the ark, you're done for. But if your hope's in him and the righteous one, then you and everyone else that had their hope in him will be spared. And that's the good news. That's the gospel according to Noah. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that through this great picture that you gave us permission to talk about, this symbolism that you built into the story of Noah, where a righteous man and his family was spared because of him. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we have heard well that there's no way we can approach you, that there's nothing that we can do, and that there's no way that we can be spared what we deserve, save the Lord Jesus has gone through the flood for us, and that we've survived because he survived, and we were spared because you spared him and brought him back to life. And so I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would believe it with all our hearts and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.